Testing, checking. Yes! Let's go!
This is the Family Cast! This is the Family Cast! Food and music is life! Yes! Food and music is life! Yes!
Hello, everybody. Hello. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I know we're in the midst of some crazy times, but it's still a new year. So there's chances to do things right, make things right, right wrongs and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to just do we're going to start here. We're doing what we can here on the Family Cast. Food and music is life. Yes. Yes, indeed. I'm Chef Josh. I do food and music pairings. For those of you who are new here, welcome. One, welcome all. Thank you for sharing the show with a friend. Thank you if you're here for the first time. You're in for a treat. Today's guest is Will from Scrimshaw Coffee here in San Diego, California, and also Field Trip Roaster. He roasts coffee beans, so you're going to find out all about that in the episode upcoming right here on the Family Cast. Yes. All right. So just a couple of few things before we start the conversation. Again, thank you. I appreciate all of you. I appreciate everything. Thank you that you've done for me this past year, spreading the word. And I got some much more fun things coming up in the works here. So stay tuned. More stuff happening with the Family Cast and cooking and pairings and all this kind of stuff. Real quick, follow us on Instagram at the Family Cast. Follow us maybe on patreon.com if you want to give anything. That's cool. It's patreon.com/familycast. And or you can buy me coffee. That's at the Family Cast. What else? Venmo? Maybe Venmo a little bit. A couple of tips here and there. Don't never hurt nobody. That's at Joshua CK. JOSHUACK. All right. So that's cool. Any tips I get, I usually just give to, most of the time, to be honest, if I get tips, I usually tip out my staff at Harvest Kitchen. I tip out the team. I tip out the dishwasher because I don't want to be doing them dishes. I have already done that. And so I tip him out. So that's cool. So also for those of you who don't know, I'm an executive chef at Harvest Kitchen. We're a catering company in San Diego County, and we go all over California. We got a food truck. We do different events. It's been a little crazy right now with COVID stuff, but you know, we get by. We do fun stuff, and we have a venue where I can do fun events too. So more of that to come once everything is more comfortable and open up again. We can do stuff like that, right? So you're all invited. I'll tell you more when we got some stuff actually happening. So what else? That's about it for now. I'll probably talk to you after my conversation here with Will from Scrimshaw Coffee. All right, everybody, let's dig in.
Nice. Yeah, there we go.
I know, dude.
You have a mascot. That's fine.
Yeah, she's a little cuddle monster right now. So in the mornings, you know.
Just the mornings?
Just the mornings. At night, she does her own thing. But in the morning, she will not leave me alone. So she's going to hang out here, I think, on the table.
That's fine. I've had dogs on the show. I've had babies.
There we go.
Birds. So actually, chickens. Oh, yeah.
No way. Chickens. Mm-hmm. You got chickens?
I don't. It's other people.
Okay.
He's like, oh, hold the chickens at the window. It was funny. But yeah. So yeah, this morning I'm here joined with Mr. William Remsbottom from Scrimshaw Coffee over here in San Diego. And we'll get to some other cool businesses that you're doing right now, right? Like new. But Will, who are you?
I know. Yeah, man. So my name's Will, and I own a coffee shop over on the east side of town. And I guess just meeting you kind of through the shop, right? You guys coming in, and then your stint at, was it Public Square for a minute?
Yeah, I was helping them out for a little bit.
Yeah. And I think maybe we had met over there a time or two, but yeah, man. So just running the shop on the east side of town over there.
Dope.
Yeah.
Did you, are you from the coffee scene in San Diego then?
Yeah, a bit. Yeah. So I had done like restaurants and cafes and bakeries and working in kind of a million different part-time jobs while trying to be in college and ultimately dropping out multiple times after pursuing multiple different majors.
Yeah, I've been there.
And so ultimately just kind of falling in love with the service industry and always kind of being, you know, entrepreneurial, as kind of corny as that is, but always knowing that I was going to own my own business, right? And so doing the part-time job thing, ultimately it led to just that happening. So
yeah,
I was working with coffee.
And you opened that like 3 years now, right?
We actually just hit 4, which is crazy, in August. So we signed the lease in 2016, opened in 2017. So
cool.
So just over 4 years, which is nuts. It's crazy.
It's a good part of town. Like, that was right when I was kind of pursuing Urban Life Cafe and like leaving them YMCA there. So
maybe that's where we had met.
I'm pretty sure it's around there, because like across the street was David and Sterling's
right,
and then before they moved, and then I left the program in the hands of the students, and then so I was like, I hope all the coffee shops around here, like, you know, stay in a community like Cafeína
for sure,
and then
yeah,
I mean, it was open little by little. I
think
there's one that opened up and then closed down right around there, but I forget, Dark Stag or something like that.
Black Stag.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, the coffee industry is alive and well in San Diego, and every time I go to Scrimshaw, you guys are busy, so to some degree, right? So
yeah, dude, it's cool. Nuts. Like, yeah, it's incredible. We're the busiest we've ever been right now, which I'm so thankful for and so awesome. It's really kind of trying to figure out what's next, you know.
I remember when you guys were opening, it was just like, I think it was just the two of you opening it and just working 4 hours a day.
Yeah,
you know, so like, pretty much. Like, we need an hour off.
Yeah, literally.
Somebody. So you hired Jim in there, and then just kind of slowly went from there.
So I opened with a partner. Yeah, and he actually stepped away about 6 months in. We kind of did that whole thing, and so he hasn't been part of the company since 2018.
Okay.
Jam was our first hire, and then it's pretty wild. Pretty cool. Yeah, for sure.
Did you have to learn a lot about, like, you know, being a barista or any kind of thing like that, like the coffee art kind of stuff?
Yeah. Yes and no. Like, I was already, kind of in the scene. So I had worked at plenty of cafes before. And so I was already kind of familiar, and that's why I had the confidence to open a shop to begin with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
I had managed a restaurant in North Park. My first like salaried management gig when I was like, I don't know, 23 or something. And yeah, it was pretty cool. And ultimately ended up dropping out of school for the last time when I was doing that. But, you know, seeing the profit and loss statements and this amount of money just going into the owner's, you know, bank account. And I was just like, dude, I can do this. I'm the one doing this. Like, is it not my shop? Mm-hmm. And so that was really kind of I did that for about a year. And then I was like, I got to get back to coffee. And it was kind of a late night thing. And I was like, I want to get back to coffee. And then, began the hunt for spaces. You know?
Did you choose like that kind of City Heights college area on purpose, or?
Yes and no. I had literally walked through a million spaces around North Park, and ultimately like was always met with the same, like, how are you going to pay for this? You're a kid, right? And you have no money. And so that was often we're going to find a different tenant because you don't know what you're doing. Huh. And then our space right now, I was looking for a new apartment and moving out of North Park over there. So I was driving, just kind of driving around, checking out other areas, found a spot over there, and then was stuck at our intersection at the red light, saw the for lease sign, called on it. And then the landlord met me there like 2 hours later, and he was like, oh yeah, I see the fire in your eyes. Let's do it. And I know you'll figure it out. And he's been incredible. So got pretty lucky with it. And it turns out that we're in a little section called El Cerrito, It's kind of our little neighborhood. And yeah, man, it's just, it's a great community. People don't really realize it's there, you know, but it's rad.
Yeah. It's like tucked behind kind of the main, the big drag of El Cajon Boulevard.
Exactly.
That's really cool. Yeah. And then, did you guys expand somewhat since you've opened, right? Like a little bit out to the front and.
Yeah. So we added the patio as kind of a COVID pivot. Right. And then, and yeah, so we threw that up September of 2019, I guess, or 2020. So that's kind of the only expanding we have done.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we were closed inside most of the pandemic and then just reopened in July, the inside. So
yeah, nice.
Yeah, changed it up a bit.
It seems like it, and that your branding was like kind of more like simple, fun art. Is that the way to put it? Like,
yeah, I guess. So when we opened again, I opened with a partner and we really kind of like tried to dial in and hone this more approachable, I guess, and playful is kind of, were kind of the buzzwords that we were using, is approachable and playful instead of this kind of pretentious or too cool for school, style that so many shops around town have. And we just, you know, because we are not in the coolest area, we knew that just wasn't going to fly. And we had to be kind of pretentious we had to be kind of approachable to really be sustainable and busy. Yeah. So kind of the that's where the whale came from, kind of just a playful, friendly icon. And
people
love it. So we're, you know, we've definitely grown since then. And it's not really, doesn't really resonate anymore. And we, you know, when you come into the shop and, you know, if we're playing hardcore or 90s hip, you know, 90s hip hop or whatever it is, like that really is more of what we're relating to these days more than ever. And so I think with the partner stepping away and then really kind of just growing into ourselves, we've really kind of morphed into something different. So, so like the whale isn't really around as much anymore. You know, the colors have kind of changed. There's a little more attitude and edge, I think, to the shop in general. And while still like maintaining a level of service that I think not many shops provide, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys and Public Square and Heartwork are really,
like, yeah,
everyone's nice. Like everyone's like,
of course,
really nice and welcoming, yeah, and part of the neighborhood. And I think it's maybe because you guys are not in North Park, South Park.
For sure.
I don't know if that has something to do with it, but you know,
totally.
And I know a lot of employees at your shops and those shops come from other coffee shops because they want to be friendly. I don't know if they want to be friendly, but like, it, those are really friendly place, neighborhood places to go.
For sure. I mean, yeah, if you're, you know, if you work in a friendly shop rather than someone or a shop that's just so cool, it's like, there is a difference even from employee to employee, you know, not just employee to customer or whatever, but yeah, so for sure, it's important.
Yep, definitely. Are you, and then you play hardcore and hip hop in your store.
Yeah.
I didn't notice you have a vinyl collection even at sometimes, but I don't know if like how much DJing happens there, but
yeah.
Are you a hardcore kid?
I mean, yeah, I was always kind of into that stuff. And, you know, so I grew up in a pretty conservative Christian household and so until really, I mean, middle school, high school, my mom got remarried and they became very strict Christian parents. And so it was like only Christian music in the house for a long time. And, but you know, there's a lot of cool, like Christian metalcore and hardcore and stuff like that. So that really kind of opened up that world. So come high school, definitely just went headfirst and all that. So yeah, I would say I like hardcore.
yeah, me too.
Among other things, yeah.
And San Diego had a lot to choose from too.
Totally, yeah.
A lot of bands around here, so of all genres, I guess, but like definitely a lot of energy in the music scene here. So
yeah, for sure.
So if you go into Scream Shaw Coffee at any time, you might hear some local sounds coming out of the speakers, like
that's right,
metalcore, all that kind of stuff. But that's fun. Was it Patrick or Roger? I mean, did he go and do another coffee shop?
He works for another big coffee company in San Diego, but not his own. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's a trainer of some sorts at one of the other big guys.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think at one point I even was in his, we were in the same world at like Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf or something like that.
Yeah. You worked at Coffee Bean?
I was a GM in Mission Hills. Yeah.
No way. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. I worked at Mission Valley with him. That's how I met him. That's funny.
Oh, okay. So we might've met a long time ago then.
Yeah. I definitely had worked shifts at Mission Hills.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, covering.
I moved down from the LA stores, and then I took over that store, and then wow. I was there for like, I don't know, a good 2 years or so.
Wow, that's
fun.
What a trip. Yeah. So yeah. Austin was our GM.
Okay. Austin Mills. I remember Austin.
Yeah, because he would do the pop-ups and stuff as well.
Yeah.
And he was really kind of, I mean, I love that guy. I wish I still was in touch with him, but he was really pinnacle or really a big point for me, just opening up my world to like the local culinary scene too. Like that's right when I turned kind of 21 was when I was working under him. And and just everything he was doing was super cool. And we would just talk about food and, and beer and coffee. And that was, you know, coffee was blowing up more than ever then. And, it's cool. That's funny, man. Met a lot of people that copy me.
Did you meet Sergio from Chicano Soul Food doing those pop-ups?
What do you mean?
Like the when you were doing the food pop-ups at, and I know you had Sergio selling tacos at Scrimshaw for a while too.
Yeah. No, I had just met him, I think, through the coffee scene, honestly, because he was doing so much, or maybe at a brewery or something. I forget.
Well, he was always at Hard Work.
Right. Yeah.
Saturdays in Port Vida. But right. I actually met him for the first time in person at Scrimshaw. We had a meeting
to talk about
how we could collaborate on food stuff.
What a trip.
He's like, let's go to Scrimshaw.
Oh, shoot. Are you there? Sorry. Yeah. I just got a little lag. That's rad. My dad is actually the mailman in Mission Hills, like for Heartwork. And so he would always stop by and grab tacos too on like Saturday mornings. Yeah. So, you know, it's like Rob and all those guys, but it's hilarious. Yeah.
What a small world San Diego is, right?
Really is. Yeah.
Seriously. And then you are also now roasting beans.
Yeah. So right? That was kind of a pivot to the pandemic. Okay. Because we were not roasting before, we were serving people from all over the country. Mm-hmm. In addition to like local guys like Coffee and Tea and Dark Horse, we have served them as well. But it was kind of something that I had wanted to do for a long time, and then finally just got into it. So needed, you know, margin on your own roasted coffees is a little better than buying it from other people.
Sure. Yeah.
So
when you get fully into it, are you going to keep just your own beans, or are you going to still have like other?
Yeah, so we're only serving our own stuff right now. We've only been serving our own stuff since last August, I believe.
Oh, nice.
So we've been roasting just over a year. Wow, that's crazy. Time is flying by. Yeah,
it seriously is.
Yeah, but there's a really cool facility up in San Marcos called the California Roasting Collective, and basically it's a big collective of roasters and a lot of people roast up there. So Tired Eyes roast up there, Hawthorne roast up there, mm-hmm. Steady State roast up there, a whole bunch of roasts, Bear Coast, a whole bunch of people roast up there. So they really just kind of eliminated the barriers to entry when it comes to starting a roastery.
That's so smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how it used to be for the beer industry.
Right.
So like, you know, somebody would open a place where everyone could kind of, not everyone, but like companies could come and brew their own beer to sell and, you know, pilot batches and stuff like that. So why not do it with coffee beans too? Like,
exactly.
Cause you could be done in like an hour, right? Like,
right. Yeah. Like I'm roasting today, and it just depends how much you're roasting, obviously, but I'm roasting today for like, I think 4 or 5 hours. So,
It's a field trip coffee, right?
Yeah, so we wanted to name it something different. So we, just from a marketing standpoint and kind of going back to, we're just not Scrim necessarily anymore. And so really wanted just to call it something different. So Field Trip Coffee Roasters is the name we gave to the roasting operation.
Is that kind of because you're driving up to somewhere else to do it?
Yeah, no, not necessarily. I don't really even remember how we came up with it. My wife's a teacher and I think we were just talking about like what she missed being in the classroom. She was teaching online, and she's like, I miss field trips. And I was like, field trip. That's kind of fun. And we could take it, you know, the trippy route with like, you know, kind of the 60s field thing.
Trip, yeah.
Yeah. Or we could get like adventure-y and like kind of do, you know, there's so many other ways, but
exactly.
Yeah. So we use the, Master of Reality, Black Sabbath, you know, cover as kind of a big inspiration. Yeah, for the, but like not like Beach Boys trippy, you know, like not like the bubble colors and like Beatles trippy or whatever, but kind of that 60s, you know, metal. Yeah.
I totally know what you mean.
So, Yeah, so we're kind of relating to that a little bit more. And we're working on a bunch of like other graphics videos and design stuff for like the website and all that. But
oh, you're doing a revamp, renaming, rebranding?
No, just like we haven't even launched a website for Field Trip. It's just sold exclusively in Scrimshaw right now. Okay. So we need to just put it out there into the world. Like, we're not wholesaling or anything yet. And we would like to get to that point, but have a lot of design work to do to get there first.
But did you think about calling it Scrimshaw at all on the beans, or was it always going to be something different?
I think it was always going to be something different. When I made the decision to roast, I was like, you know what? It's not going to be Scrim. Like, and everyone's like, why are you going to name it something different? Like, doesn't it make more sense just to call it Scrimshaw Coffee Roasters or something? And I guess, but it just like when you don't necessarily relate to it anymore, it's, you know, maybe it's just time to do something different. Yeah.
And did you have coffee this morning?
I have not had any coffee this morning. I'm trying to wean myself off a little bit. I had kind of a anxiety attack maybe a month and a half ago. And I limit my coffee drastically these days. Yeah, it was super bizarre. I had an espresso at another shop and went into our shop, and I was cooking, and it was like a weekend brunch situation. And then I was just freaking out, and I was like, what is going on? And so, yeah, I, being a roaster, drinking a lot of coffee, I was just didn't feel great. And, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to just wean myself off. And so, yeah, I drink maybe a coffee a day now, like a good 10 ounces max. But
yeah, I can't drink more than my morning stuff. I
have really? Yeah.
One good one in the morning. Maybe every once in a while, if I'm dragging or if I'm driving to the desert for a wedding or back, I have something like around lunchtime. But if it's after that, I just kind of stay up all night or jitter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I have I'm going into the shop after we do this before I go roast. So I'll have something there. Or like at the roastery, people are often cupping or doing pour overs of stuff. And so it's really cool to be able to just taste what other people are doing too. So on my roast days, some days I just reserve my coffee for up there.
That's okay. It's probably like chefing a little bit. You know, you make the green bean to the final product, and then you guys cup it or whatever, and you have the community of other roasters there, and you're all
exactly
like a chef's kiss, you know,
mama, yeah,
whatever.
Like,
do you ever like blown your own mind with something like something that
for sure, I mean,
either at the roastery or at your shop? I mean, even with your sandwiches and stuff like that.
Yeah, dude, for real. I mean, the food program has really become a big part of, you know, revenue and sales, and it's something we're passionate about. And I don't think like many cafes do food really well. And period. And it's like, it's in San Diego especially. And so really, I think it's just a market that we like to hit. We sell hundreds and hundreds of bagels and sandwiches a week. And so it's like, it's a cool thing, and people obviously like it. We really like it. So whether it's like our, you know, house pickled peppers or, you know, just slicing meat, like, is cool, you know, and it's different. Or like our breakfast sandwiches are so good on the weekends. I crave those. So yeah, I blow my mind all the time with that kind of stuff. For sure.
That's a good thing to do. Like, be proud of your product. And it's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool that you know how to roast, and you came from other backgrounds, and now you have those bomb deli sandwiches and stuff like that. Did you guys always, did you put kitchen equipment back there?
So so again, the pandemic kind of hit, and I was like, you know what, let's expand our food. Everyone's at home, right? And I think our neighborhood specifically really needed there's nothing cool. And like, we were like the one thing that people could walk to in the middle of the day or in the morning, whatever. And so we were really like, all right, let's take advantage of this and really do some cool stuff. And so we started doing like tortas, and it was sick, and like grain bowls as like our first iteration. So we ripped out a counter at the shop, put some new fridges and bought a bunch of stuff. And we had this like carnitas bowl with a great sauce, and like, it was awesome. Yeah. We were getting our bread from Supan, which is like on ECB right there. And every morning. Right. And, but you know, it was expensive. It was like, you know, these are like $14, $15 sandwiches. And, with the uncertainty of the pandemic, it felt weird charging that much for stuff. And I was like, let's get a little more accessible. So we kind of dropped it. Anyways, like editing menu, we've gone through a million iterations of it. Yeah. And so, yeah, we have like, we got some basic stuff. We have like deli slicers and, you know, some kitchen equipment, but our stuff's pretty simple. We do have like an illegal flat top that we're not supposed to have. But you know,
why is it? Because it's electric or something?
Because it, you know, if we're cooking on it, we don't have a hood. So oh, we're yeah. just, yeah, it's just that simple.
Yeah, you can get a ventless hood or put it, say it's on an outside patio or something, you know, like
for sure. Yeah, there's ways to get around it. Every time, like if we get health inspected and they see it, they're like, because we only do it on the weekend, so it will just sit there unplugged and off when they come in.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not like worried about it, but they'll, you know, they'll be like, "Are you using this?" And like, "No, it's just in here." And they're like, "Okay, make sure you don't use it." It's like, okay.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Oh man, a little bending there. It's fine.
Yeah.
Because you're technically not using it at that moment.
So
what would you like? I mean, if you can dig into your musical head, what are you gonna pair your musical, your breakfast sandwich with? What kind of music would you pair your breakfast sandwich with?
Oh shoot! Like in the like at the shop. Or yeah, breakfast.
Like if you're eating, shoot. Someone's gonna order your breakfast sandwich, and maybe it's a winter. You know,
damn.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like
Walters, so, but, you know,
okay. Yeah. Classic. That was one of the things when we were just a little side tangent. That was one of our things when we were, opening, I really wanted to have the Gibraltar. He's like, traditionally, I don't know if you're familiar with like the story of the Gibraltar, but they, originally they were made to be served cooler and like from barista to barista. So you come on bar and somebody hands you like you clock in, right? Somebody hands you Gibraltar, like pound that real quick, get ready for work. Like yeah, that was kind of the, that was kind of the thing. And so when we were opening, I was like, man, it would be so sick if like industry people, when they come in, like we just give them a Gibraltar, like that just being like the thing. And we really wanted to do that for a long time, but then it was like, oh, oat milk. You know, like you never know. I wish you could just like do it and people are like, oh, sick. Thanks, dude. Like, that's my thing.
But, yeah, back in the day, sure.
Yeah. But yeah, Gibraltar is a good one. So, Gibraltar and breakfast sandwich on a Saturday morning. Right now, I'm Nas's New York State of Mind is coming in. Like, that would probably be my setup personally. Okay. Nice. Or, like that's kind of the vibe I've been feeling like. With the cold weather, I think maybe like walking to the shop, grabbing that. Mm-hmm. That's a good little morning right there.
I could picture like some kind of promotional, like commercial video for you as your store now, like, you know, it closes up with you, like key in the door, you open it.
Yeah.
You're there, you know, somebody might be there opening up shop and you go in, the camera's following you.
Yeah,
that record is playing. It shows the needle going on the record, playing the whole soundtrack.
Of course,
you're going back there doing whatever you need to do in the morning. You get a breakfast sandwich, you sit down with the Gibraltar, and you like kind of cheers somebody else sitting there. And
yeah,
and
boom. And
then, you know, it kind of fades out of the commercial fades out, and the song plays for like two more seconds. Then
it would be perfect. That'd be so sick. Yeah, that'd be so sick.
That's a good pairing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How about yourself?
Ooh, nice.
First of all, like your coffee this morning, is it just like batch brew or do a little pour over?
This is AeroPress.
Okay, cool.
I got Essex Coffee Roasters.
Nice.
Of the show. It's a collab coffee with Hot Water Music that he did.
Sick.
So
wow,
that's
cool.
Beans, in my trusty camp mug from Wiretap Records. But it's what I did was I have a milk frother, and I put some Vietnamese cinnamon in the milk frother. Ooh, with the milk.
Nice.
So it gets cinnamon milk, right?
Nice.
So instead of kind of like same idea as like cereal milk or whatever. I don't put sugar in there because it might clump up too much, but but anyways, yeah, it's an AeroPress press into here with just, you know, a little bit of a heaping scoop of from the AeroPress scoop.
Yeah.
And then I just let that steep for like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's a good one. He uses like that one's a blend, I think, Guatemala, Ethiopia, and I think that's just those two for this one.
Okay,
on
cool.
The beans. Yeah.
Were you listening to anything when you made it?
I actually was. I tend to listen to if it's a collab with a musician like that.
Yeah.
With some of their music. So I Hot Water Music
makes sense.
Hot Water Music just put out a new single, Killing Time. And so I was blasting that while I was drinking it, sitting down at the table and eating. Actually, my son works at Public Square.
Oh, wow.
So he brings home scones sometimes. So I was eating a scone.
Okay.
I was eating one of their scones with drinking this. So I was like, man, I'm totally like friend of the showing right here, you know.
I love drinking
that coffee, eating the scone, you know. So I was vibing to that. And then I found a playlist called 80s Roller Disco.
Oh hell yeah!
It played all the songs that you used to hear. Maybe if you went to a roller rink, or if you see it on the movies where they're at the roller rink, kind of everyone's, you know.
Yeah.
Lots of funk and soul, like somehow that came into my ears this morning. So
I love it. Yeah. I've had Maggot Brain on repeat lately, and Funkadelic and all that. Just so good, dude. Just like it's incredible.
I think if you play that music, like Parliament and Funkadelic at your shop, everyone's gonna appreciate it. Like they might not even know that they know the songs. I think
something
about those songs, like, I mean, for one thing, it's party music, but like if they hear it in either in movies or they know the samples that other hip hop artists have taken.
For sure.
And so they're like, oh, how do I know this song? How do I know so much George Clinton if I've never heard George Clinton? You know, it's because of all the artists who have sampled it or whatever other, you know, musicians people sample from. It's like, how do I know this song? And then you realize it's the song that, you know, maybe Beastie Boys sampled or Biggie or whatever. So it's like,
if you play these
original records in your store or playlists or whatever, people are like, yeah, this makes me want to sit here and eat my breakfast sandwich or whatever the case.
That's right.
They're familiarized and they feel comfortable knowing somehow they know this song somehow.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. I have this it's really cool zine. Third Man has started putting out, kind of chronicling the life of Parliament. And I bought the first one. I was in Detroit earlier this year, and so I had to go to Third Man, right?
Yeah.
And so they're selling it, but I bought this copy, and one of the big pieces in it was recording Maggot Brain and how high he was, and he didn't even know what he was playing. Uh-huh. And he didn't hear it till like 3 days later. And he came in, and everyone, like, it was like a 25-minute long session of him just shredding guitar. And and he came in and listened to it like 3 or 4 days later after he sobered up. And he's like, what? I played that? Like, that's crazy. Oh, wow. And yeah, George Clinton obviously like mixed it down and made it a cohesive track. But yeah, it's a pretty amazing opening song, I think, on that album.
How does a guy like you get into like George Clinton and Parliament and Funkadelic and stuff like that?
Dude,
if someone saw you managing a restaurant,
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think
your black cat, you know, like,
yeah.
I love funk, you know.
right. No, I don't know. It's a good question. I think just, you know, trying to learn what everyone's influenced by. Mm-hmm. Deeper you go, the more stuff you find, and that's been resonating lately.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I've been super into like Senegalese jazz lately too, like, like weird stuff like that. Because it sounds so Latin, you know, like so much like Latin jazz and Cuban stuff is all inspired by like these African beats, and been really into like some of those. So like, you know, folk art used to have just an incredible selection of like world music, and so spending time digging through records, I think that's how I find my stuff like that. I guess, you know.
You have a pretty good record collection.
So like half of it's at the shop. We have like the office I was kind of telling you about, have a bunch over there. We have some here, but I don't spin records as much as I should, man. I need to, but
take the time.
I really need to. Yeah. I was, kind of going through this. I had this, not a breakdown the other day, but I was like, what are my hobbies right now? You know? And like, I haven't thought about that in so long. I think so much of my brain's been surviving the business and all that. And, you know, we have a baby on the way now too. And I'm just like, okay, let's think about myself congrats. A little bit. Cool. Thank you. Yep. First one coming in February.
Maybe you'll get back on the coffee train then.
Yeah, honestly, for sure. That's funny. But, I'm just like, what are my hobbies lately? And so I think, spending time with my records is good on the higher on the priority list than it was.
There's something about it that's can be soothing. Yeah. Even if you're putting on like something hard listening, whatever, it's like something about it, just the task of, or the ritual, I should say, putting the needle, you know, put the needle on the record kind of thing, like it's going, and then you're sitting there, hopefully
sitting there.
Yeah, yeah.
Either the artwork or just listening. I don't know, or just zoning out or vibing to whatever you're putting on. Like,
for sure.
I find it as a nice ritual to either I can, and sometimes no matter what's on, I can just kind of sit there and either meditate or center or like just like get into it, really get into the what they're doing with the record, because you can hear everything. It's just,
of course,
especially any. I sit right next to my speakers and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. It's a thing that I crave and enjoy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to. One of my good homies, he owns Longplay Hi-Fi. I don't know if you've heard. It's like a.
I haven't.
It's a listening bar, essentially, like a Tokyo inspired listening bar. It's kind of idea. And it's been coffee focused through the pandemic. So it was kind of one of his pivots, is like an RSVP only kind of situation. Ah. You go in, somebody's spinning a record and they spin a couple tracks, whatever. He has, you know, guest track selectors every weekend. And,
is that here?
It's off Imperial.
What?
Yeah, dude. I'll send you his handle, but,
cool.
Yeah, and he's looking for a more permanent, because he kind of operated as a pop-up situation for a while. And so he's seeking a more permanent spot and really wants to do, you know, he wants to do an evening program. So we're talking like Natty Wine and, you know, like, and he's a Chicano dude. So like almost like a Baja twist on a Tokyo listening bar.
Nice.
So yeah, it's going to be sick for sure.
The whole thing is just, it's records and then you guys do coffee or?
So he serves his own coffee. Yeah. So he does like, you go in there and he has a couple like signature drinks, but he just does pour overs, which is rad. So he does coffee.
Is it Fuzz?
No, they had a collab with Fuzz. They did a collab with Fuzz, but he serves Floor and Seed now, which is a couple other guys roasting in town. Yeah.
Man, that sounds really cool.
Super cool. Yeah. It's the best. yeah. No, I'll have to send you his link. Sorry. I just got a text.
Are you have you ever done like record stuff at your store, like a record swap or like record pop-ups like that, holiday
right? No, not really. I mean, that would be sick, but Fuzz did a pop-up. We did a collab with Fuzz when we launched Field Trip, and so they did a pop-up, came and sold some stuff. My buddy G, who is doing Long Play, he's spun a couple times at the shop, like when we do a party or something. So he's been a few times, but I just need to do some like audio treatment in our space. Like it's so echoey and loud and really make it more conducive to that. So we're applying for beer and wine. And so we're going to do kind of an evening program as well, like food and stuff. And so that's definitely going to be a part of that whole thing. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Are you going to, that means you're going to sell, get ready for it. Scrimshaw Pale Ale.
Probably not. I'm like literally kind of scared we're gonna get a cease and desist from those guys.
At least put one of their bottles on the shelf, right?
Yeah, for sure. Something. Yeah, we'll figure something out. That'd be fun. I don't know how they like, they're huge, obviously. North Coast Brewing is huge, but I wonder how they would feel about that. There's also
a Dogwood coffee roaster. Yeah, like, so
that's
like,
true.
I didn't do
but
anything.
Dude, those guys are Dogwood's gnarly. Like
Yeah.
I've never met them, but like they forced Dayglow in LA to change their name because they were called, what were they called before? Dogwood Coffee has a blend and it's something glow or neon, maybe. I forget. There's some word. And Dayglow now, before they were called this one word, and they had like the trademark on this, and so they were like, it's too close coffee wise so Dogwood like sent them a cease and desist and like made them change their name.
Oh my.
Like, kind of gnarly. Yeah. So I'm like a little nervous that like, you know, North Coast Brewing would do that, but I mean it's been 5 years, so they haven't said anything.
Yeah, yet. What are they gonna do, like, you know? Yeah. I mean, at least you're at a point where you're thinking about a different, you know, branding or something like that,
right?
So,
right.
Or keep the exactly, yeah. name or something.
You know, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, we'd figure it out. But I don't know. Maybe we'll sell it in the shop. Who knows?
Seriously. That's funny. Like, yeah. And it'd be a cool story, I guess, why you had to change your name or whatever. Like,
for sure. Totally.
But don't do it. You know?
Yeah.
Or there you go. Black Cat, you know?
Yeah. Black Cat Coffee. Isn't it a bar in City Heights? This is Moira Rose. Yeah. Like from Schitt's Creek. Moira Rose. Yep, you know?
I know.
yeah, this is Moira, and then we got a dog over there somewhere too. That's Millie.
Oh, okay.
So, Millie and Moira.
Nice.
But they're best friends. But yeah.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah. I like pets on programs like this. You know?
Okay. Yeah. For sure.
Cat lovers welcome. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Black Cat. Shout out to Black Cat in City Heights.
Yeah.
I've seen concerts there. Played pool there. Cool place. I like that. Anything called Black Cat is kind of cool, ends up being cool, right? Like,
of course, it's gotta be. Yeah.
Firecrackers. Sure.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. What does the future hold next for like the company and stuff like that? Are you gonna blow up with your roasting? Or are you just gonna?
Yeah. I definitely have some lofty goals for that side, but we have beer and wine in the pipeline, right? Mm-hmm. And that's going to be huge, I think, for the shop.
Does that mean like you're going to do like just kind of bottles and cans, or you're going to put in the whole system?
Yeah, we're going to put in a little draft system, most likely do nice. Some kegs, but really kind of the natural wine thing is really exciting. And then I think another thing that like any cafes in town that do have beer and wine don't do is like, you know, you can do so much with a beer and wine license. It's not a full liquor license, but with just beer and wine, you know, we can do fortified wines, vermouth, sherry, Aperol, Campari, all those kind of other things that you can still sell. So like you can, you know, I can't wait for the day but next summer I want to do like weekend oysters. And so like to be able to sit outside, have an Aperol spritz and some oysters is going to be so sick.
You're so European.
yeah, I don't know. It's there's just something about it, but with a San Diego twist, right? So like, how can we do that? But
welcome to the Rams.
so beer and wine is going to be cool. You know, it's just another thing that our neighborhood just doesn't have.
That's true.
Anything cool. You know,
let me know when you're ready to when you want to do like coffee cocktails, because I had a guy on the show. Josh is he does Bartender Atlas, and we did a side meeting kind of exclusive thing, but we did a coffee cocktails with this Essex coffee roasters and
okay,
a
bunch cool.
of different recipes what you can use with say like Aperol or Campari stuff in the drink and stuff like that, and then did food and music pairings with that too. So like people think of maybe one thing when they think of coffee is caffeine,
right?
Or maybe bitter or jitter or going to the bathroom or one permanent first thought when people think of it, some people think delicious or use it in the tool in the morning. But if I do, I want to do like, or I have done coffee brunches where you like really teach people all the stuff, almost like a cupping session, but like where you're actually drinking in all the different forms, say like cascara soda, and then like a coffee cocktail or a coffee stout, and then coffee in the food. So
yeah, absolutely.
There's so much stigma, I think, around like coffee, because people like yourself or somebody would be like, I have been drinking so much coffee that I'm just kind of quit or whatever. It's like yes, it can be. You can go that way, but like here's a way to like kind of appreciate the whole bean. Kind of thing.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. There's different ways, 100%. And yeah, I don't know. It's funny, like, obviously you do a lot of pop-ups, events, all that kind of stuff. And that stuff stresses me out, man. I mean? Like I could never be in the catering world like gig, because there's no like consistency. It's different. And I've never like been into it. So I think about events and stuff, and I know we're going to have to do them with beer and wine, and I want to, I just like, I'm bad at it. So we'll have to do something.
We can help out if you need it. Like,
I mean,
you don't technically have to do events. I guess it's more like a fun thing to do when you're
right.
Like, if you close at 6 on a certain day, you can do a thing like 6. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it sure is fun.
I mean, absolutely.
Even stressful. I mean,
for sure.
It rolls and everyone's there having a good time. You're like, this is awesome.
Of course.
Right?
How stressful it is. But... And I mean, I think using it to like push creativity and support other people too, like that's also, I think, a big idea of pop-ups. So like, and I need to do that more, So yeah, I'm down, but we gotta figure something out.
No pressure. It's fine.
Yeah.
Lots to do.
So we're gonna be doing that, and then when it comes to the roasting, kind of back to that, like because we rent time essentially now at the collective. Mm-hmm. It's rad, but it is also like having a bunch of roommates, you know, or like having to like book time,
right?
Like in advance, you know, and like with that, like so, like this week, somebody, or I guess it's the last weekend. Usually I roast on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. But like last week, somebody booked up the entire day. And then this Thursday, it's Thanksgiving. So it's just like all over the place. So anyways, moral of the story is like, we need to get our own roaster at our own facility.
Okay.
So that's what's next for the roasting side. We've kept it real small in the meantime because kind of the logistical challenges of still renting time up there. So we're talking about ordering a new, getting a new roaster built right now, actually. So they're like 6 months out. And with supply chain issues, I wouldn't expect that to increase even to like 8 months or 9 months. So, it's, you know, it's just to have the conversation, get it going now is also what we're doing. So finding a new space for that is going to happen soon.
Super and cool.
Kind of grow. Yeah. We're growing.
Have you ever had music at the shop? Like live music?
No. Again, I think it's just an acoustic thing. Like,
oh yeah,
it's rough. It's rough in there, and just loud and echoey. I think we have had.
Maybe you can tell the artist, nope, we can't do it.
It just doesn't sound good. Yeah,
you don't want to do it in here.
Trust me. Yeah, yeah. We've had like some after hours, like friends and family album releases for friends. You know, it's like, yo, come listen in the shop. Like, we'll have coffee and stuff. So we've done a couple things like that.
Yeah.
Some other bands, yeah. But yeah, doing live stuff, I just need to do some treatment in there. It's just echoey.
Again, no rush. You keep doing the things that you're doing that are good, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That's really cool. I was going to say, not to take too much of your time because you got a roast today. He's going roasting, guys.
Roasting, baby.
Where do you go get coffee or tea if you're going to go out in town to get something?
Yeah, so I live around the corner from Coffee and Tea Collective over here in North Park. Okay. And they're the homies, so supported them since day one. So often I'll go there. And then, you know, I live next to Hawthorne as well, so kind of on this side of North Park. So Hawthorne and Dark Horse are right here as well, so I'll do that. And then on the east side, I'll hit Public Square once in a while, or Gem Coffee is over here in City Heights as well, so go check them out, they're rad. And then on days like today when I'm roasting, I'll take the long way home and I'll cruise along the, you know, Pacific Highway or whatever, and so I'll hit, you know, in the afternoon I'll try and hit like Steady State or some of those guys. So it just depends what part of town I'm in, you know.
A lot of good choices around here.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, you know, if I'm not drinking my own coffee, of course.
Sure.
You
show up to their place with a Gibraltar.
Yeah, for sure. But it's fun, man. Coffee's rad. I think it's everyone's like, it's so saturated. I'm like, dude, we're nothing like compared to other cities, you know. Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about how saturated it is. I'm like, everyone that opens, someone's closing, you know, also. So it's like,
that's true.
There's really not.
Maybe they're talking about like North Park, South Park, but like all of San Diego County is not saturated.
Right. No. Yeah, for sure. I mean, even in North Park though, like everyone has their own thing. Like,
yeah, I know.
It's their own vibe.
It's just centralized right there. So
yeah,
they think it's saturated, but even if you go to the outskirts of North Park, there's not a lot or whatever.
There's really not. Yeah.
So yeah, don't listen to the haters.
I know. Yeah. No, there's plenty of love to go around.
Seriously.
You know? Like, yeah.
Man. Hey, well, drop me a couple. Here's a couple more nuggets. So you need to give me a nugget of wisdom that you've learned from all this in your family life or business life or cat life, you know, or music life or whatever. But were you in a band at all?
I played music, at church a lot, and then we did, had a couple other bands. I don't know. I mean, so I went to high school in Hemet, which is like the worst place on earth. I don't know if you've been.
Shout out Hemet.
Yeah, shout out. It's just like Earth's butthole, I swear. But like, so there's a, you know, speaking of roller rinks, there was a roller rink there that had all the shows. It was called The Wheelhouse. And
I know The Wheelhouse.
So we would, you know, we played there. There's a couple churches that we would play, like, would do hardcore shows and stuff. So I was in a couple bands in high school, like little garage bands, but got, you know, Pro Tools kind of started with the, you know, little digital audio workstation started coming out when I was in high school. So I think for my 16th birthday, my parents bought us like a little setup. And so we started recording like all of our friends, putting it on MySpace. And then I went to school for audio production for a minute. And so I was always kind of more behind the computer and really fascinated with the recording process more than playing. So, I mean, I play guitar and stuff and piano a little bit, but but never really took it too seriously in terms of actually performing. Yeah, I like being on the backside.
But you know how to record it all and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So that was always fun.
We got to do something.
Dude, it's been a while since I've done all that, but
it's in the blood.
So I dropped out though because like it's so weird. I don't know what's wrong with me, but it kind of just started taking the magic away from music for me. So like every time I listen to anything, I just dissect it and I don't enjoy it anymore. And so
I know what you mean.
And that was a big reason why I dropped out of school for audio is like it's like turning the lights on Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland. Like it just like I don't want to see all the stuff, you know. And I want to like listen to it in some nice headphones and enjoy it. And
I feel you.
I haven't really done that anymore.
No shame. I know exactly what you mean.
And I haven't gotten to that point with coffee yet, so or food. So
good.
So
don't ever get there.
Yeah, I hope not.
That's dope. Cool. And then is anyone in your family like entrepreneurial or business like owning a business?
No, not really. I think I kind of messed myself up with that too when my parents bought a house and I started like mowing lawns in the neighborhood and kind of had a little monopoly on our tract home development. I would make like $300 a weekend when I was like 12 years old, you know, and like it was sick. And so literally from that moment, I think I've always had a problem with having bosses and I've always been like, I can make my own money. I don't need somebody telling me what to do. I'm not an employee. And so, no one's really entrepreneurial. So I don't know where that honestly came from. You know, it's literally nobody, I don't think in my family owns a business. So I don't know, but my mom's like an incredible, my mom's side is the Mexican side of my family. And so we always have people over. She's always hosting, cooking for everybody. We lived right next to my high school. And so I played water polo and swam and stuff. And so all the guys would come over and like, my mom would just like host everybody. And it was like kind of the safe space. And so I think between that and like a desire to literally make money as kind of horrible as that sounds, I think mixing the two, I was like, wait, this is a viable kind of option. You know, I truly have a heart for hospitality, I think, and being first and foremost before coffee and food, like that's the point. And so I think between like my mom's influence there and then my natural desire to make money, it was kind of a thing that made sense to do. So
thanks, mom.
Yeah. Shout out moms.
Shout out all the good moms out there. Cause I definitely learned a lot of my hospitality from that the Mexican side of the family, from my mom. Mm-hmm. I think it just, you don't know as a kid that you're learning it, but I think that it's definitely became one of my natural talents and gifts from that culture, from the culture itself. And you know, not that my other side of the family didn't have that culture or niceness, but it's just, I think it's inherent that the Mexican side of the family is like, let me feed you.
For sure. Yeah, just like warmer, like something about it. Like, yeah, I don't know, they're warm and it's incredibly different.
That's great. I mean, that's the reason why that saying mi casa es su casa is, mm-hmm. it's in that culture. I mean, there's probably other things like that in other cultures, of course, but like you always hear mi casa es su casa.
Of course,
you don't always hear my home is your home.
right.
You can, but it's like that's the actual saying, you know.
No, I feel that. There is a reason for that for sure. 100%. So, and like when it's, I think with my mom too, like the other side of it, if somebody like, it would break her heart to hear if someone was uncomfortable, right?
Right.
Where I think, like, in maybe some other parts of my family, it would be like, that's your problem. I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, like, my mom will do whatever it takes to make someone feel comfortable. And so I think, like, that's just again, that emotional intelligence and the hospitality side just makes sense I think, to me. And so
sounds like she would be a great barista at the coffee shop.
Right, dude. Every time she comes in, when she comes in to visit, she'll just come behind the bar and start chatting with people, or like we'll put a coffee up and be like, Amanda, I got your latte, and my mom will like take it over to them. I'm like, Mom, you can't. Like, you just look like a strange old woman, like, you know, like, you can't do that. But she just wants to help.
Here's your cafecito.
Yeah.
Right. I love it.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's some of the wisdom you're going to impart on the Nugget of Wisdom section. Is like you learned from hospitality from the mother.
Absolutely. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, seriously. And then going out, what's like, what kind of music are you kind of looking forward to listening to, or like what's on your radar these days? For you mentioned earlier a little bit about the G-funk stuff, Parliament.
Yeah, you know, for sure. I know that's definitely. Let me see, what's my recently played on Spotify right now?
Okay. No shout out to you, Spotify.
Yeah, sorry, dude. I as a Betty Davis Eyes, that song is like my jam right now. I love that song, Betty Davis Eyes. It's so good.
She has an incredible voice in that song.
Yeah, well, yeah, who is it? Kim Carnes, right? But Taylor Swift has a version, and with how big she's blown up, like it's an acoustic live version that's on Spotify right now.
Okay.
It's so good. So Betty Davis Eyes by Taylor Swift live. what else am I listening to? Let's see. People Under the Stairs.
Would you say Taylor Swift is your guilty pleasure?
Probably not. I honestly don't know much of her stuff. I wish I did. I mean, I hear she's amazing, and this new thing is like awesome, but I really, I don't know.
Yeah. It's almost like she can do no wrong to a certain degree. Like, you know, and she tries a bunch of different styles and stuff like that and see what.
Right. Yeah.
You should check out one of her albums called Folklore.
Okay.
She did it with the guy from The National and Indie.
Oh, wow.
But, came out pretty cool. I don't really always recommend Taylor Swift stuff, but if someone says her name, then I say, check out this record, you know?
Right. I've really been into, I don't even know what they call it. Like rap, metal, rap, hardcore kind of stuff. Like almost like newer, almost like Rage, but more hardcore, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that, I've been really into. That's getting me pumped lately. If I go for a run or something, like that's been my go-to.
Would that be like Fever 333?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah, for sure.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah. Well, he has another band called Pressure Cracks, the singer of Fever. And Pressure Cracks, I love them. Like they're so sick. Fever is all right. But
that's more like kind of has some electronica and samples and stuff like that. But yeah, he's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, Jason. It's funny. I had a good friend, and he's Jason's best friend, actually. And so apparently, he's been in the shop multiple times now. And I'm like, what? That's crazy.
Random. Oh, he's from San Diego.
No, they're from LA, but he comes down. My homie lives here, and he just moved, but he was here. And then so when Jason was in town or whatever, he would come hang. But
I smell a collab.
Yeah, right. That would be incredible. Incredible. Yeah, he's getting big.
And he's collabing with every musician right now too.
So. I know, dude. Yeah. He was just on a Papa Roach song, which is like kind of tight.
It's funny too, because if I play them in the kitchen, it's like I really like the song, and then it's weird though, because one of the next songs will start to sound a little bit cheesy. If that
like almost arena, like made for an arena, you know?
Like, I mean, I can understand the production value and stuff like that. It's like good, but it didn't have the same power as the first song or whatever.
Right.
I don't know.
It's interesting.
But I'll be listening to it, I'm like, I think I'm over this song. And sometimes, like, maybe it depends on how I'm feeling, but
that's
kind of what it does sometimes. So I appreciate that he does other bands and stuff. So I don't have to.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a mood.
It's a mood for sure.
Jason's a whole mood.
He really is.
You know,
the dude's a trip. Yeah. But so like rap metal, and then the G-funk stuff. What else? I'm trying to think on like the hip hop side, what I've been listening to. I don't know.
Are you gonna make a playlist then for the shop, like with some of this stuff? Like,
you know, we probably will. Yeah. We actually, it's funny, like everybody started doing that a couple years ago, and that was another thing. We had a whole bunch of them made. And people ask us all the time, like, in the shop, like, yo, is this a playlist? Like, this is so good, whatever. And we're always like, no, we're just queuing some stuff up. And so I don't know, we should make a playlist, but
why not? Yeah, it's so easy. You know,
yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's pretty fun. But I don't know, man. But dude, I was gonna tell you. So when my parents were like, Christian music only, we'd go to like the bookstore, Bible bookstore, right? And one day I was listening to some stuff, and I think it was Slit Shoes. Uh-huh. This is the band, and yeah. And then right next to that was Dogwood, and so I think that was one of my early purchases.
Oh, nice!
Back in the day, so yeah. up in Hemet. Hemet, yeah, let's fancify it a little bit. Yes. But yeah, it's good stuff, man.
That's fun. Yeah, I mean, I still stay in touch with all those guys, so
no way,
big part of my life, and mm-hmm. It's cool that you found us there. That's good to hear. You
know? Yeah, it was a trip.
So, yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll do a concert in the shop. No, just kidding.
A little acoustic session.
No, a big loud one. A big
echo. Yeah, one. I'm down. Let's do it. Just get rowdy.
There you go, neighbor.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate your time on the, family cast. Food and Music is Life. So because everyone that I kind of bring on the show is, it's not always like, it's not always like chefs and caterers and mm-hmm. Bartenders. It's like anyone who's kind of like in the food and beverage scene, but also like has a big heart for music.
Yeah.
And what I found was a lot of people in the coffee industry are like kind of came out of the music industry or have a big hand in it or a big heart for it. So at least that's the people I've talked to so far. So that's been really awesome to see.
Yeah, for sure.
People coming from concerts and stuff like that to now having coffee shops and vice versa. And then all the people I talk to who are like, say, like lead singers on the East Coast or whatever, like they've never had a restaurant job or whatever, but like food is a big part of it, so like there's been a lot of these correlations and intertwining paths of the industries throughout I'm learning more and more through this, doing this show and stuff like that. So like it's been a fun experience. So like, and that, so like next time I go to Scrimshaw or any of my listeners stop by Scrimshaw, you'll be like, oh yeah, I hear the music now, and I wanted your producer.
Sure.
And so like,
hey. Yeah, for sure. Well, it's funny, we talk about this all the time. We actually just got a horrible Yelp review because of it, but like a lot of shops do have like their designated playlist, right? Like it's only like you can only play these playlists or related artists to these. Like a lot of shops are like that, right? Uh-huh. Especially the bigger you get, but like we really have no like bars on really anything. And so it could be like the bad Yelp review was because someone was blasting 3-6 Mafia. And so it's like, stuff, it was just explicit and bad, and somebody was uncomfortable. And so like, I get it, but it really is a point of individuality. And like, when we're encouraging that so much with our employees and have a diverse crew, like, there's no way I'm about to be like, you can only listen to these things. And so, yeah, we really let, whatever people are feeling, it's, I don't know. It's great. Like Saturday mornings have been like No Doubt mornings. And so like, we've been playing like old No Doubt a lot lately, or I don't know. It just depends. But yeah, man, the music, when it comes to the music stuff, we turn it up, and it's sometimes not the greatest place to study. And it's really because it's the vibe, it's just like,
whatever you're feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's right. I know, man, I want a Gibraltar now. I haven't had one.
Seriously. I need one too. Actually, it's funny that I had Rob and Sam on Heartwork,
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were talking about Gibraltars on there too. So like,
okay, cool.
I think that's the drink of choice right now for everybody,
Dude, it's just like perfect sometimes. We
it's meant people, to be perfect. It's the perfect
yes. Yeah, right? That's right. Yeah, perfect ratio. People get so mad at us. We started doing like iced cappuccinos. Mm-hmm. So people lose their mind, like other baristas. It's like, oh, we don't do iced cappuccinos. And it's like, dude, I just want like less milk. That's it. Right. You don't need to like froth some foam and like put it over ice. It's just like, just give me less milk and like charge me what you would charge for a regular cappuccino, because it's going to be smaller, right? It's just all about ratio. And people freak out. And so like, we really started doing that, and our employees get iced cappuccinos everywhere they go. And so like, a lot of the other shops are like, oh, you guys started that. It's like getting bitter. I don't know. It's just a weird, like,
it's your fault.
Yeah. It's just a weird, like, barista pride thing,
Totally.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean,
yeah,
in the chef world, it's like we don't always like it when customers ask questions about this stuff, you know, like if it's the wrong question. Or if we're at a catering, a wedding for like 150 people, everyone's enjoying the meal. One server will come back and say, like, somebody's asking for salt.
I'm like, no.
Okay, here's my giant container of salt you can take.
Right.
I don't have like a little thing to give you, like, you know,
for sure. Like a salt shaker, literally. I know.
Yeah. I'm like, the one mother-in-law from Indiana wants like more salt on her fish or something, you know? I'm like,
unreal. Just eat the food.
Yeah, just suffer through it. You'll have dessert in a second, you know? But yeah, I feel the same way as those baristas.
yeah. But yeah, man. So when it comes to the music in the shop, incredibly important. And yeah, I think it's just like a point of individuality and we roll with it.
I love it. Yeah. So I'll look forward to your next playlist suggestions or anything like all that. Right. You know, I'll come in
absolutely,
soon.
Dude. Yeah, for sure. Please do. It'll be sick.
Grimshaw Coffee on Elkhorn Boulevard by 67th, right? 56.
ECB 56.
Yes, 56th and Elkhorn Boulevard in San Diego, technically in El Cerrito by City Lights, between SDSU and Urban Life Cafe at the YMCA. So, everybody, this has been Will talking to me on the Family Cast. Thank you so much, Will.
Dude, thank you. Appreciate being on.
Yeah, have a happy roasting day.
Yeah, it's going to be sick, dude.
I want to taste those beans that you roast, so let me know when those are finished.
Absolutely. Will do. Okay.
Cool, man. Talk to you soon.
Cool, man. All right, later.
Later. Bye. Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, there you have it. My conversation with Mr. Will Remsbottom, owner and proprietor of Scrimshaw Coffee here in San Diego, California, on El Cajon Boulevard. If you have not been there yet, please go. You'll enjoy it. Delicious sandwiches, of course, delicious coffee. And now, as you heard in the conversation, Will is roasting his own beans. Field trip. Field Trip is the name of the bean roastery that he's doing. And that's what they're selling there at Scrimshaw. So if you're drinking Scrimshaw coffee already, you're already drinking his beans, baby. So yeah, that, as you heard in the beginning before I talked, that's Bop Gun by Parliament, Funkadelic, right? Parliament is the band that he talked about a lot, George Clinton, all that. They got a lot of songs, a lot of hip-hop artists, rap artists have sampled from them because it's just fun groove music to groove to dance to funk with, if you will. So yeah, so I'll probably be just playing some of that at the end of this little talk right here. But yeah, you made it through the first episode of 2022 of my show, The Family Cast, Food and Music is Life. Yes, my name is Chef Josh, and we're still not too far into the episode numbers. We're still only like maybe, you know, 40 or so. So that's not very many. And the reason there's definitely more than what the numbers say, it's because I do the bonus episodes and the pairing playlists and stuff like that. And I don't really number those because I'm only numbering the ones that have guests. If you've noticed, I don't know if you've gone through and listened back to since number one. And I did a post on Instagram. I actually listed all the guests that I've had on the show, and there's been some rad ones. There's been some rad guests. So if you get a chance, go back and listen to, you know, just go back and look through the catalog, if you will, of the episodes, and you might find somebody that you like. You might find some new friends, some new things to learn, and you might have some suggestions for me. Send them my way. I'm always looking for more opportunities to learn from people, to grow, to talk to new guests, to talk to friends. Obviously, if you look through also, you'll see a lot of coffee roasters because, hey, the coffee scene is strong in San Diego, and the roaster
roasters do well here, but also a lot of all the people that I've talked to on the show who are in the coffee game were also musicians or doing music. So it's a perfect pairing, for at least for me. So yeah, Gibraltar. If you get a chance, drink a Gibraltar. Your next time you go to a coffee shop, ask for a Gibraltar. Hey, you got a Gibraltar on the menu? Can I have one? That's my drink of choice when I go to, you know, little craft coffee shops like Public Square and Scrimshaw and Heartwork and stuff like that. Because that's, if that's what they're drinking, then that's probably a good drink to drink. And if you get there at the right time, maybe they'll let you taste some coffee with them too on a pour over or a new bean that they're trying out. It's always fun. Some cupping and stuff like that. But yeah, so Will is at Scrimshaw. Go give them a visit. Shout out. Follow them on Instagram. I'm going to put all the links and information in the show notes as per usual. And getting ready to do some more episodes, some eps, if you will, some eppies, whatever you want to say. I got some more guests. I got some fun stuff. I'm working on some more playlists. I would love to have some guest DJs on those playlists, working on that. And of course, some food and music pairing events in the works. If you didn't catch that last episode of 2021, it was with Jakovic from Kel Bordel. And we talked about doing some food and music pairing events this year. I know things got a little bit, are getting and have gotten and are a little bit crazy with the current situation with the pandemic, things being shut down and stuff, but don't let that get you down. Things could still, we could still come out of this on a positive note. I know a lot of people are getting sick and stuff like that, but as long as we are staying healthy and kind to one another, we can still believe in humanity and we'll get through this together, everyone. Stay kind, wash your hands. Say hello to your parents if they're still around, and give each other a hug, because, you know, we got to be nice to each other. Enough of that. If I see you at a coffee shop, let me buy you a drink. Or, I mean, if you buy me one, that's cool too. Let's just keep that going. And as always, give us a follow, give us a shout out, give us a share, subscribe. Share it with your friends. That's the best way to get this show out. That I found. It doesn't matter what I do. It's just my voice here over here. And actually, if you're hearing my voice, shout out to you, Downright, DOWNWRITE.com for this microphone. It's a Rad Sure microphone that I won from them because they're the homies, and it's a musician owned company where you can write your you can tell them to help you write a song for a loved one or whatever. So Downright, check them out. They're it's a pretty rad situation they got going over there. Check it out, downright.com. If you don't remember what that is, I'll put it in the notes, and or you could just ask me, your boy Chef Josh. Ladies and gentlemen, amigos y familia, I'm pretty much out of here right now, and I'm going to end with some music, but I just did want to say thanks again, and I did want to shout out that as of right now, it is January. It's the beginning stages of January right now. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing these every week, like I said before, because I am getting busy in the kitchen, but I do have some slow time. So I might do some more. I'll do these as much as I can this year. Let's put it that way. Not a resolution. I'm just going to do them as much as I can as I get new equipments and stuff like that. Cause also I'm still working on music. So I'm doing music and podcasting and other stuff, making videos, lyric videos for people and stuff like that. So I stay busy. I stay busy. And then of course, on top of all this stuff, I have my own family, wife and kids. So I got my priorities straight and I got my time taken up. So, but anyways, you know what? Until next time, my friends, I'm going to say arrivederci. I'm going to say thank you again. I'm going to say I'm out of here. So here's some music. Ciao, ciao.
Thanks for listening to The Family Cast.